Chapter 15. That evening they outspanned Katrina's wagons back at the south bank of the river. It was still raining. Sean's servants waved and signalled to them, but the brown water bellowed down between them, cutting off all sound and hope of passage. Katrina looked at the water.
"Did you really swim that, Minhir?"
"So fast that I hardly got wet."
"Thank you,"
she said. Despite the rain and smoky fire, Katrina served up a meal as good as one of Uma's. They ate it in the shelter of the tarpaulin beside her wagon. The wind gutted the hurricane lamp, flogged the canvas, and blew a fine haze of rain in on them. It was so uncomfortable that when Sean suggested that they go into the wagon, Katrina barely hesitated before agreeing. She sat on the edge of her cot, and Sean sat on the chest opposite her. From an awkward start, their conversation was soon running as fast as the river outside the wagon.
"My hair's still wet," Katrina exclaimed at last. "Do you mind if I dry it while we talk?"
"Of course not."
"Then let me get my towel out of the chest."
They stood up at the same time. There was very little space in the wagon. They touched. They were on the cot. The movement of his mouth on hers, the warm taste of it, the strong pleading of his fingers at the nape of her neck and along her spine, all these things were strangely confusing. She responded slowly at first, then faster, with bewildered movements of her own body and little graspings at his arms and shoulders. She did not understand, and she didn't care. The confusion spread through her whole body, and she could not stop it. She didn't want to. She reached up, and her fingers went into his hair. She pulled his face down on hers. His teeth crushed her lips, sweet, exciting pain. His hand came round from her back and enclosed a fat, round breast. Through the thin cotton, he found the erectness of her nipple and rolled it gently between his fingers. She reacted like a filly feeling the whip for the first time. One instant she lay under the shock of his touch, and then her convulsive heave caught him by surprise. He went backwards off the cot, and his head cracked against the wooden chest. He sat on the floor and stared up at her, too surprised even to rub the lump on his head. Her face was flushed, and she pushed the hair back from her forehead with both hands. She was shaking her head wildly in her effort to speak through her gasping.
"You must go now, Minhir. The servants have made a bed for you in one of the other wagons."
Sean scrambled to his feet.
"But I thought..."
"Surely we are..."
"Well, I mean..."
"Keep away from me," she warned anxiously. "If you touch me again tonight, I'll bite you."
"But Katrina, please, I can't sleep in the other wagon." The thought appalled him.
"I'll cook your food, mend your clothes, everything. But until you find a priest..."
She didn't go on, but Sean got the idea. He started to argue. It was his introduction to Boer immovability, and at last he went to find his own bed. One of Katrina's dogs was there before him, a three-quarters grown brindle hound. Sean's attempts to persuade it to leave were as ill-fated as had been his previous arguments with its mistress. They shared the bed. During the night, a difference of opinion arose between them as to what constituted a half-share of the blankets. From it, the dog earned its name. Thief.